This morning we're looking into 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And in these verses we get a glimpse into the life of the church as the Apostle John would have it to be lived out. And as you look around our congregation, or maybe on a more normal Lord's Day when a lot of people are not traveling, as you look around the congregation and you consider the different people that are worshiping in the pews, you may take note that people are at different stages in the Christian life. And that's okay. That's good. And you may talk to people and know that people in the church have different stories as to where they are and how they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and may have different experiences that have brought them to embrace Jesus as the Christ and as the Savior of sinners. And that's what John is doing in our text today. He's taking a step back. He's given us a lot of information, hasn't he? He's given us a lot to meditate on in the life of the church. And here we see John saying in verses 12 to 14, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." You see, what John is doing here is he's looking out at the church and he's looking at the different experiences and the different places where we are in the church, and he's bringing those groups together and he's telling us that this is part of life in the church. Do you see how John is looking at these different times in the life of the church? He mentions three groups, doesn't he? He mentions little children or children in 12 and 13. He mentions young men in 13 and 14. And he mentions fathers in 13 and 14. Now, he's not talking about literal fathers and literal children and literal young men, because he's not talking about the family unit. He's talking about life in the church, and he's writing to these groups of what make up life in the church. Now, before we look at each of these three groups, I want you to notice what John says to each of them, or the way in which he writes to each of them. He says, "I am writing to you." And then he says, "I write to you." Notice how he does that. I am writing to you and I write to you. It doesn't come out very well in the English Standard Version, but in the King James Version, it catches that nuance better. It says, "I write to you and I have written to you." Now, earlier this month, I was organizing some things in my study because I figured after 9 years, I might as well start organizing some things. And I spent some time reading through some letters that I found, and two of the letters really stood out to me. One was a letter from the woman that led me to Christ, and she had given a number of thoughtful words, and she signed it, "Your Mother in the Faith." Now, she's gone on to be with the Lord, and that letter is meaningful to me, especially with "Your Mother in the Faith." Another was a letter from Dr. Bruce Stewart, who was the pastor here from 1962 until 1973. And he told me of his continued love for the LA church, and he gave me a number of words of wisdom that a young pastor who was probably in over his head from day one needed to hear. And this is what John is doing. John is writing and he's saying, I write these things to you and I have written these things to you because you're going to come back to this letter and you're going to read it again. And as you read it again, it might mean something different to you this time that you've read it. Not that the words have changed or not that we would exegete it differently, but the applications may come to you in a different way. There may have been a time when you have read 1 John and you read it as a little child. And maybe you come back to it as a young man or as a father. And you read it again and you say, this whole thing is fresh. This whole thing is, it's like it's new. And this is what John is doing. He's saying, I've written these things and I am writing these things. Because you will come back to this letter. You will receive new words of wisdom, or ought I say fresh words of wisdom and encouragement and blessings in Christ. So let's look at these three groups that he writes to and draw some practical application as we do. John begins in verses 12 and 13b with little children. And we could call this for our first heading the nursing Christian. The nursing Christian. The words that John uses here for children, it's two different Greek words, the first being little children and the second having the root in learners. So little children and little learners. And we see that these are the new believers and the young in faith in our midst. Now, in a sense, all of us, all who are in Christ and who are in union with Christ, ought to be categorized as little children, as those that are needing to grow and to learn and to nurse and to be nurtured in the Christian life. In one sense, it is all of us, but we can think back on our Christian life. We can think back when everything was fresh and new. And maybe you're still there, and that's good. But I think of when you were learning the doctrines of Christ for the first time, and learning what it means to walk in Christ, and learning what union with Christ means. When all of these things come to your mind in a fresh way, think back on that time when you were first repenting of sin and first trusting in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. This is that nursing stage of the Christian life. This is the beginning. This is the little children of the faith. And there's many benefits to this. You can think of how little children trust their parents or trust their teachers, and how everything is so new and fresh to them as little children. As they learn something new, it's so fresh and vibrant. And friends, there's crossover in that in the Christian life. We look to our own sin. We look to our own misery. We look to the fact that Christ has fully satisfied the wrath of God against sin. And we cling to Jesus. And we love that knowledge that our sins are forgiven. And when we're new as believers and when we're in this nursing stage, it's like the only thing that matters to me is that my sins have been forgiven and that I know God. And that's what John says, isn't it? He says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And then at the end of 13, I write to you children because you have known the Father. Friends, John is encouraging us here to reflect Reflect on that time in your Christian life when maybe the only things that you knew in the whole world was that your sins were forgiven and that you knew God. John is calling us to think, to reflect. And of course, he's calling on us to grow, to nurse. The New Testament teaches us, as we read, to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And we desire that milk so that we can grow. And this is your job as a nursing disciple, to grow, to be rooted and grounded in the fact that your sin is forgiven and that you do know God and that you are able to cling to Christ by faith. Friends, you are unable to grow as a Christian without the Word of God. You are unable to grow without the Word of God changing you and causing you to conform to the image of Christ. You are unable to grow if the Word of God is not daily confronting you with the voice of God. Communicant members have vowed diligently to read the Bible. We can't grow without diligence in reading the Word of God. If you are a nursing Christian, you must drink deeply. You must come to the Word and you must drink. What happens to children when they don't eat? Well, we know that babies can die. Friends, desire the sincere milk. A new year is upon us quickly. And as the bulletin insert says, it's a good time to dedicate yourself to the systematic reading of the Word of God so that you can grow. And it's good to keep one another accountable to that reading. I'm going to follow this year the one that's in the bulletin. And you can ask me about it. Pastor Nathan, it says that we're at Mark 12. Did you read Mark 12 today? We are called to grow. And children, this is one of the means of grace that God has given us so that we would come to know Him. If you're able to read, are you reading the Word of God? Are you putting the Word of God into your heart and mind? Memorize the Word. Get in the habit now, children, while you are young. Read the Word that you may grow to know the Father, that you may come to understand what it means that our sins are forgiven in Christ. Grow in that assurance. The nursing Christian. But we see another category here as well. Maybe we could call it another maturity level. In 13b and 14, John refers to the young men. And we'll call this, for our second heading, the zealous Christian. The zealous Christian. The young men in this section are all who have made some progress in the faith and they take the truths of being forgiven and knowing the Father, and they're able to go out and fight that Christian battle that is before them. Now, I believe it's appropriate here considering John's use of children and young men and fathers, it's important to note that because John isn't talking specifically to the family unit, that he's using these as broad categories, that we must include the women as well in this, even though it's a masculine word. These are the zealous Christians, ones that have zeal for Christ and zeal for fighting the good faith and zeal for the things of God and holiness and walking by faith. And notice what John says to the young men, to the zealous. He says, "You have overcome the evil one, and you are strong because the word of God abides in you." So these nursing Christians grow, don't they? And that word of God abides. And it gives us that ability to fight even the evil one. So too, we have encouragement here to those that have made progress in faith. John says, the word abides in you. And then out of that abiding, there comes results. We see you have overcome the evil one. The young, zealous Christian has many battles to fight. There are many urges. There are many difficulties. It might be that fight against indwelling sin, or that fight to deny self. And know that the abiding word is able to overcome that. It may be the lusts of the eyes. And the word of God can overcome that. It may be the pursuit of the world, the so-called corporate ladder or the rat race. The word of God can overcome that. Let the word of God abide in you. The evil one would have the young and the strong and the zealous in the church of Christ use their energy for the building of their own kingdom rather than the building of Christ's kingdom. And this is a temptation. But John says, you have overcome the evil one. Be mindful of that. Know that your zeal for life ought to be directed towards the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pursue education and pursue business and pursue different areas of life where we're called. It doesn't mean that we don't advance in the world or in our careers, but it means that we prioritize. Jesus said that we seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. Notice what John says to them. He says, you are strong. Proverbs 20:29 says that the glory of the young is their strength. Is that strength being used in the kingdom? If you have both strength and zeal, and the word of God is abiding in you, how are you using those things to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Because you're called to be a worker. You're called to be busy in the things of God. No, that doesn't mean that you all have to go to seminary. It doesn't mean that you have to be an officer in the church. But you are a worker. That can mean that you could volunteer to help serve in some capacity. There are some here that pass out tracts and talk to people on the streets about Christ. You could use your energy towards that. You could use your zeal towards that. There are others that serve in diaconal ways. You could use your energy in the kingdom in that way. There's always plenty of ways to serve, from our work with local homeless shelters to college ministry to different areas of life. You could go to jails and nursing homes and bring gospel messages. You could talk to the elders about hosting a Bible study in your home. You see, there is so much gospel work to be done. And sometimes those in this category, this zealous Christian category of life, they ought to be using their zeal to see the kingdom of God go forward. And sometimes that zeal and that energy is only used to sit around and talk about theology. When the zealous is trying to be the teacher. And again, I love to sit around and talk about theology. But we must have our hands dirty. We must be doing the work of the kingdom. This is a good stage of the Christian life, a time of work, a time of volunteering, a time of using strength and zeal to advance the kingdom of God, all with that knowledge that you have overcome the evil one. And friends, it's always important to remember we do this through the strength of the Holy Spirit. If you are zealous for the advancement of the gospel and you find yourself in this stage where you want to work and you want to use your strength for the kingdom, John is writing to you. You are strong. You have overcome the wicked one. The word of God abides in you. Use that zeal unto the glory of Christ. Sometimes people will come to me or come to the elders and they'll say, Pastor Nathan, you should do this. Or Elder so-and-so, you should do this. You should do that. Like, it's not on my heart to do that. It's on your heart. Let's get it organized. Let's help you to see that work done unto the glory of Christ. Use that zeal, because the glory of the young is their strength. And the third category that John writes to here is what he calls the fathers. Look at verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And he says it twice. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. The fathers here are those that have advanced in faith and they're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have worked in the kingdom and they've demonstrated that ability to overcome, and the word of God is abiding in them, and they are stable in the fact that they know Christ. You have known him who is from the beginning. You have known him who is from the beginning. We could call this category for our third heading, the wise Christian. The wise Christian. The fathers are supposed to be wise. John Calvin sort of humorously said, "The old praise the time of their youth, and they reject whatever differently is done or said. This evil John wisely removes when he reminds us that the gospel contains not only a knowledge that is ancient, but what also leads us to the very eternity of God." The fathers in the church are driven back to the beginning. And back to he who is from the beginning. And we know that John is referencing Christ here, isn't he? Those that have made a degree of progress in understanding and growth, And John is encouraging them, don't just sit back and look at the workers in the church and those that are zealously doing the work and say, well, you know, when I was young, the committees that we had were actually, and then remind us that things were done differently. That's not the role of the fathers in the church. It's the temptation of the fathers in the church. And friends, for anyone maybe that's thinking to write the letter of charge to the presbytery, I'm not saying that elements of worship are to change. I'm not saying that the preaching of the word is to change. I'm not saying that the government of the church is to change or the ethics of the church is to change. I'm saying that there are secondary matters and things of liberty that sometimes people will hold on to as a thus saith the Lord, when really we need flexibility for the sake of the kingdom going forth. John here drives the fathers back to the beginning. You have known him who is from the beginning. An experiential knowledge of Christ, that you have been saved from your sins, that you are secure in that salvation, that you have assurance, and from that you go forward. So what ought the fathers and mothers of the church to do? What ought to be the way in which the fathers serve Jesus in the midst of the body? John says they know him who is from the beginning. You are wise. You have the wisdom of the scriptures. Share that knowledge. Share that wisdom. There's a call here, even for discipleship in the church, to share with those who are younger, to help to raise up, to maybe call alongside a zealous worker and a nursing child, and to invest in them. Maybe go through the Westminster Confession of Faith and teach what the theology of the church is. Or go through a book of the Bible and do a study on a book of the Bible or a theme of the scriptures. Or read a good book together, maybe a Puritan paperback or some other theological book to help one grow in the church. Invest in that way as a father is called to invest in his children. Use that wisdom. You are the ones that consistently apply the word of God in your lives. You are the ones that live out that union with Christ in a way where we see stability. Maybe internally you know of your sin and know of your struggles, but the rest see that stability. Impart that wisdom. And ladies, older ladies in the congregation, the mothers of Israel, are you teaching the younger women? You might say, well, Pastor Nathan, we're off the hook here because only men teach in the church. I would remind you that Titus 2 says that older women are called to teach the younger. Disciplines of godly womanhood. This is part of your calling in the church. You could think of the number of young mothers that are in the church, or young newlywed wives, even first generation Christians. Are you aiding in their discipleship? Are you calling them alongside of yourself and giving that wisdom that you have as a woman of God? Fathers and mothers, you know the one who is from the beginning. You know Jesus Christ and the stability that Jesus Christ brings to a life that is spent clinging to Him. Share that wisdom. Share that wisdom with the zealous. Sometimes it is easier to criticize the zealous than to bring wisdom to the zealous. Sometimes it's easier to mock the immaturity of the nursing rather than aiding them in their growth. Friends, this is life in the church. This is what Jesus has purchased. He doesn't call a church to be all filled with immature believers. But at the same time, He does not call the church to only be filled with those that are wise. He calls different stages of the Christian life to live life together. And John is saying, here, I want you to grow together. I want you to all be a part of these unto one another duties like we've talked about last week or last time. This is the church that Jesus is building. And friends, I want you to see that all three of these categories of maturity, these times in the life of the Christian, all three of them are important. We need babies that are growing. We need the sounds of both the literally nursing and the new Christian that says, Pastor Nathan, I can't find the book of John. Will you help me to find the book of John? We need those that will open the Psalter and say, this is the psalm number here. This is the selection. We need those that come up after church and say, you know, you used really hard words. What does, again, justification mean? What is union with Christ again? Friends, if we don't have them in our church, we are dying. And we need the zealous. We need the workers. We need those that are willing and able to do so much. The ones that will pass out tracts and that do take out trash. And the ones that do remove 3 shopping carts of homeless man property on Sunday morning. And those that do help to pick up trash in the parking lot. We need those that are zealous because they're strong. And we can't just have those that are strong. We need those where the Word of God abides in them. And of course, we need the wise. We need the fathers and mothers of Israel. Those that maybe think back on the time when they were zealous. And now they're teachers. And now they're sharing wisdom and discipling and helping to raise up and teaching all of those even norms and mores of what it means to live life in the church. We need teachers. We need those that will open their home so that the lives of the nursing may grow and that the lives of the zealous may mature. And we need those that are fathers and mothers that are able to leave legacy for the church. Able to help finance and support. And all of this is life in the church. These different aspects of the Christian life. None of this would be possible without the Lord Jesus Christ, who is calling us by His Word and His Spirit. We have a Christ who was born after the will of God. As we say, born of a virgin, the one who took on flesh. And all of these categories are focused in that direction of giving glory to this one. This one that calls us out of the world and unto Himself. These are the redeemed. We have babes, nursing babes. And they grow to be zealous believers, zealous for truth and zealous for the things of God. And those zealous believers with the Word of God abiding, they mature into the wise, into the fathers and mothers of the church. This is the church that Christ is building, the nursing, the zealous, and the wise, all lifting praise to Jesus Christ. Amen.